Foreign correspondents get a front row seat to the most dramatic events around the globe. And in recent times, there have been few more turbulent places than Europe. James Glenday has covered the continent for the ABC for the past 3 years. He's witnessed terrorism and political turbulence and is about to take a new posting in Washington, D.C. Before he started in America, though, he sent us a few thoughts about his time based in London.
When you walk around Westminster, where the ABC's London Bureau is based, so many people seem to be striding purposefully along, staring intently at their phones. Journalists, politicians, lobbyists and staffers all frantically tweeting and posting and plotting to keep up with the churn of the constant news cycle. Of course, that's not a huge surprise. The historic area is the beating heart of British political life. But over the past few years, the pulse of the place has seemed to quicken as the global beacon of stable democracy has been rattled by the most complex issue in a generation: Brexit. Ever since Nigel Farage triumphantly declared, "We've got our country back," in the faint dawn light in June 2016, there's been drama. Too many scare stories, scuttled plans and leadership rumblings to mention. Yet with the UK's exit from the European Union looming, I'm still surprised by how many big questions remain unresolved. The media is polarised, so is the public, and every development is viewed through the grimy periscope of deeply entrenched positions. Compromise seems a dirty word. Of course, this fractious political mood is not unique to England. Across Europe, big parties are getting smaller and small parties are getting bigger, making some complex coalition governments seem increasingly fragile. In this environment, the political fringes have been emboldened. I've met well-off Bavarians determined to get a far-right party into parliament for the first time since World War II. French factory workers simultaneously espousing socialist and nationalist economic policies. And Polish Catholic campaigners determined to keep Muslim asylum seekers out of the country by any means. Some of these groups are fiercely, almost fanatically loyal to their tribe or campaign. Objective journalists are an obvious target, and the vitriol that's ended up in my inbox has ranged from the comical to the disturbing. But more interesting, to me at least, has been the significant number of self-described centrists who seem dissatisfied with, anxious about, or forgotten by the political status quo. After spending several days with supporters of now French President Emmanuel Macron last year, I was struck by how many thought their lives would not be as good as their parents. These were not, for the most part, activists or social media warriors, but relatively well-educated, well-off and well-travelled young people who were convinced that only a new political movement could achieve change. My stay in Europe has coincided with a series of high-profile disasters. The Grenfell Tower inferno is the most horrific thing I've ever seen. The nerve agent attack in Salisbury was shocking. Reporting on it and the so-called presidential elections from Moscow was frankly surreal. But it's the terrorism, the deliberate mass murder in the centre of normally safe cities that will stay with me the longest. I've covered 9 major attacks and many smaller ones. The pictures, sounds and smells after the atrocities in Nice, Berlin, London and Barcelona are seared into my mind. Much to the frustration of my family, I still can't sit comfortably in a street-side cafe or linger in big crowds. For a time, I became slightly obsessed with the strategic placement of bollards. Islamic State-inspired terrorism is just one of the many reasons media pundits claim Europe's established political order is being tested. There are many theories. Is the turbulence driven by a working-class pushback against globalisation, or are people fed up with institutions like the EU? Is this all a consequence of the global financial meltdown? What was the impact of the continent's more recent migrant crisis? And more importantly, where will it all end? You could pontificate endlessly, but if I've learned anything from the past few years, it's that making political predictions is a bit of a mug's game. There are undoubtedly some parallels with what's taking place in Europe at the moment and where I'm speaking to you from. Donald Trump's USA. My beautiful, unbelievably supportive wife and I are in the middle of trying to find a new house and get our 2 young daughters settled in Washington, D.C., as I prepare to start my new job as ABC North America correspondent. The few times I've discussed politics with the locals so far, there's been a distinct sense of fatigue. In my final days in Westminster, I made a real effort to look up from my phone and appreciate my surroundings. I've always been fascinated by the area's historic buildings, many of which are pockmarked by fragments of wartime bombs. In a weird way, I find them strangely reassuring. They're a constant reminder that whatever challenges Europe faces, the continent is currently dominated by stable, peaceful democracies. The people living in them are in many cases healthy and, on a global standard, wealthy. Things have been much, much worse. In this era of turbulence, it seems something worth remembering.
Our departing Europe correspondent, James Glenday. And James, all the best for your next stint in Washington.